Welcome into DC On Screen, your guide to the DC Universe on film and television. This is episode 350. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
We made it to a round number.
We made And I know that I told... Well, I didn't tell everyone. I told other people, some people, a few people, some of the most loyal fans. I said, you know, look, we might be doing a Q&A, might be doing a Secret Origin for around 350. We do like so many episodes a week, though, that like it just kind of snuck up on me.
It sneaks up so fast, man.
So, you know what? I'm not even going to try as far as like a number.
Yeah.
For when we do our Q&A, I'm just going to, like, because we don't even have really, like, you know what, our buddy Christopher White, one of our oldest listeners, came in and said, hey, I've got so many, he'd say, I could come up with a lot of great questions for you guys. I was like, okay, if you want to do that, I guess, oh, whatever. He has
come up with pretty good questions.
He absolutely has, and he rattled off, like, this huge list of amazing questions. And I was like, oh, that's awesome, write all those down. And he was like, shit, I don't remember them.
What good is the magic, Chris, if you can't remember it? Think through your pen, man.
And my memory's so bad, I said, remember what?
Right. And then you forgot who each other were and looked at the phone and went, who's this fucker? And hung up. Later he called and you went, oh, Chris, what's up? Did we talk earlier? It was vague.
Yeah.
Like a dream within a dream.
I feel like the three of us should have a podcast called Gambling for Goldfish.
Yeah. We're going to do that in about 45 years. That's my nursing home podcast, whatever podcasts are by then.
Yeah. They're just, you know, telepathic broadcasts, really. How's your week been, buddy?
It was there. It was solid.
Yeah?
Yeah. Justice League came out. I watched that about 20 times.
Absolutely.
Someone finally gave me the answer, by the way.
And we're going to get to that. You talking about the song?
Yeah, to the song.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
Okay, so that was a huge load off my
the Justice chest. League trailer, and we won't really be talking a whole lot about our thoughts about the Justice League trailer. I mean,
because
we loved it.
We did that. Go back and listen to
it. But we did that. We had a Justice League trailer review. But that was like the highlight. Well, that was one of the highlights of my week because like I got over because you guys know I was sick.
Yeah,
and I'm still like kind of stuffy, but I like woke up and like my sinuses were clear and, you know, I didn't feel like there were razor blades in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, I'm okay. Finally, I'm okay. And like, I went and I got a shower and I was all happy. And like, I got a little, I don't know, cocky, I guess would be the word. Like, I wasn't paying attention. I was just happy.
Yeah, sure.
And like, I went to like go throw on some underwear without sitting on the edge of my bed, as I know I should do, being 33 years old.
Right. With a 21-year-old back issue.
Yeah. And I screwed up my back.
Yeah.
So it was like the day after I stopped being sick, I screwed up my back.
I can breathe again.
Right.
Which will and make it so much easier to scream when my back betrays me.
And I did. I've been walking at like a 45-degree angle.
Is it more like a deep, or is it kind of a, more of a yelpish thing or like a groan?
It's more like at this point, like I've become so accustomed to knowing what happened because I like screwed up my back when I was like 12 or 13.
It's like a not this again.
Yeah. Like I screwed up my back when I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
I believe it was like a biking accident. I like flew.
You
tell
me you just like flew over the head, the handlebars, and I kind of thought I've done that so many times, but I wasn't your height.
Yeah, and you know
I was at the optimal height to roll and move on with my life. You were not.
I've guessed it was about 12 feet that I was catapulted, yeah. And you know landed flat on my back. So. I've had issues ever since.
Yeah.
And I broke my arm at that time, too. So, you know, that thing gets a little achy when it gets cold.
Sure.
But, so yeah, that happened. But, aside from the Justice League trailer, here's a little highlight, though, that I thought was really cool. There's an actor. He's been around for about, he's been doing work for 60 years. He has a 60-year career named Richard Hurd. And, my youngest sister, Brittany, she who designed our magnificent logo.
It is fantastic.
She's in college, and he's going to speak. He spoke at her college, and she got to meet him. And if you don't know who this guy is, I looked it up. He's not in anything DC that I could find to connect it. But I love this dude. Like, he was on MASH. He played George's boss, Mr. Wilhelm, on Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. And he was fantastic in that. They do a great bit where, like, she got an autograph for me.
Cool.
She told him about this show. He said he loves podcasts. He's going to listen to our show.
Awesome.
Now, I don't know. He could have been
Nice. I love empty promises as much as actual ones.
Right. But
Especially if I can't verify anything.
Right. She claims that, like, she actually told him, like, the name of the show, and he, like, went and looked it up on his iPod and, like, saved it.
Oh, cool.
So, Richard Hurd, dude, if you are listening to this, I love you, man. he was Tom Paris's, like, asshole father on Star Trek Voyager. He's been so many things. He was on Next Generation, but I'll always remember him as Mr. Wilhelm, first and foremost, on Seinfeld. There's a great bit, where, there's this rumor that there are these, these, like, cleaners, these office cleaners who are secretly a cult. So George, like, hires them because he wants to see what their pitch is. He wants to see if they're going to induct him into the cult, and they have no interest in him, and it pisses him off. And then, like, later on, they're cleaning, and he realizes Mr. Wilhelm has become part of the cult. And they're like, Mr. Wilhelm? And he's like, my name is Tanya now. So this cat actually, like, he autographed this picture of himself in the cleaning outfit, and he signed it Richard Hurd-Tanya.
Nice.
So
this has made, you know, at least your month.
Absolutely.
Several more, probably.
Absolutely. You know, one of the great things about it is after that abduction into the cult throughout the series, he, like, went more and more crazy. Like, and they just didn't really, they didn't, like, say it was because of that, but they just kind of did it. Where, nice. Like, he's telling George to do things, and then somehow George's work is getting done. And they suspect that it's him, even though he's the one that's telling him to do it.
Nice.
But yeah, he did a great job with it, and if he does listen, dude, thank you. That's weirdly humbling to think that you're listening to the show.
As far as my weekend goes, I have a wonderfully anticlimactic story about why my arm is sore.
Oh, do tell.
Saturday, the in-laws came over. We played pool. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've got the new pool table set up outside in the garage. It's a glorious addition to my life. I mean, a slate table 4x8. I couldn't be happier. I want to pinch myself every time I get out there.
I've got myself penciled in for April 5th to go check this
thing
out.
Oh, damn straight. You're coming in to check this thing out. And I'm happy as I could be. Finally got somebody. I didn't know my wife's sister is dating somebody. I didn't know he could actually ball a little bit. So I finally had, like, a real game instead of, like, my wife trying to play for half a second and then giving up.
Yeah.
I haven't had too many visitors over to the,
your wife.
Yeah. She beat me on, like, the first game. Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those moments where I kind of told her, like, enjoy that. It'll never happen again.
I'm just sore from putting together the table.
I mean, I really, literally, what I was holding, I was holding like 800 pounds on my back trying to level it. I finally got like a good game. He beat me, I beat him, and then we kind of had to call after that, and was like, I will see you soon, sir. Good game. I welcome you back to my garage anytime. Anyway, so Saturday night was fun. Sunday we decided, let's go meet some friends. So we met some friends over at a nice place with some nice food and a nice arcade system.
Mm-hmm.
The skee ball there kind of works, but it doesn't completely work. So we decided.
So it's like every other skee ball ever.
Exactly. But it kind of works in like a cock tease-ish kind of way where you're like, oh, God, now I really want to play skee ball.
So it's like every other skee ball ever.
Yes. But we knew a place with slightly newer skee ball machines that work. So we go down the street now to another arcade. And this is me and my wife. We're in our early 30s and we're like going between arcades now.
Yeah, just pathetic. Middle-aged people jonesing for some skee ball.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Going home, having a beer between right. skee ball adventures, heading back to the. And what we particularly liked is like this is a bowling alley, bar, arcade, and laser tag if you want to. Kind of deal. So we could go to the bar and like literally like set your beer down by the skee ball thing, and it's funny because there's like a 6-year old waiting in line behind you, and you're like, well, I'm gonna pop my beer here. Don't drink that, youngin. You shouldn't steal a sip. We'll all get in trouble.
You're not representing the South well right now.
This is not Southern, I promise you.
Are you, dude? You stay away from my beer, youngin. Come on.
All right, youngin, I'll give you that. But like we we got there and we started playing, and like you get in, you know, nowadays in arcade you get like things, you basically swipe a card and get like this little plastic card that gives you tokens and all that crap. You don't run around with like a pocket full of quarters anymore. So we did that. We had a lot of fun. We played the crap out of the skee ball. Really enjoyed, you know, just went around and played like Connect Four on this giant screen. And I like laughed three times because my wife should have beat me, and she finally beat me on the fourth time. I was like, I got it. And I was like, you missed like three other times. You should have beat me because I totally screwed up. like one time I even went, oh, and then she still didn't get me. I was like, wow, I might get one over. I didn't. She won. But we had a lot of fun. We played some of the stupid games, you know, and then at some point we realized we're actually accumulating points. So we actually went to the little, you know, the checkout thing at arcades. You get prizes and everything. We went out there and we saw this like giant tennis ball. I mean, like a 9-inch radius tennis ball. And I thought, oh my God, my dog would love that tennis ball. It was blue too.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So we realized we needed X amount of points, and we were only about 60% of the way there. And we're like, okay, well, what have we done that's made the most points? And it was clearly the thing where you like throw these little rubber balls at the clowns and knock them over.
Yeah.
So I became the clown stud. And just started like pounding these freaking clowns with my balls, which is all a real sentence, but you know, sounds. But I just went through like several games in a row of just throwing these balls at these clowns. And sadly, in the search for the giant tennis ball, which I got, no problem.
Right.
Now my arm hurts. I know that sounds I know that sounds silly, but now my arm hurts because it's been way too long since I've pitched. And the worst thing about it was it took Bruce exactly 2.5 minutes to completely destroy that ball, which apparently I paid $40 for in arcade terms.
Mm-hmm. Bruce is your dog. One of your dogs.
Yeah. Bruce is the more mouthy dog. Chewed right through that thing. I was so happy watching him bouncing around. And then like about the 2.5 minute mark, I heard, psh, oh, come on.
Yeah, I think before I spent any money on it, I would have been like, may I feel of the ball?
I did. I went in there. I bounced it around. Oh, this could work.
Oh.
Nothing.
Then you were just mistaken.
No, I was just poorly mistaken. But
Bruce is vicious.
We enjoyed that 2.5 minutes. And I did, in all fairness, enjoy beating the crap out of those clowns.
Mm. So it was cathartic for
you. Yeah. No, I was like a baseball Batman for 20 minutes.
You think it was in some way linked to Jared Leto's Joker?
No. These were like the side cast of the Gotham crew, if anything, as far as makeup.
Okay. All right. Speaking of DC, we should probably
talk about actual DC. Okay, yeah. Maybe we should do that.
This first piece of news, we don't have a lot of news for this episode because we talked about the Justice League trailer and all the stuff leading up to it, like, on the review, so.
Yeah.
I saw this. I thought it was funny. It's not real. It's from The Onion, but I thought it was funny. You guys could sue me. Or not. Please don't. DC executive worried Batgirl script not interesting enough to be a movie. Three more movies, 2028 reboot, and four more movies. Burbank, California. While giving creative notes on the screenplay in a Friday meeting, DC Comics president Jeff Johns reportedly said he was concerned that a recent draft of the Batgirl origin script was not compelling enough to support a movie. Three more movies, a 2028 reboot, and four additional movies. Frankly, I just don't see this having the legs to carry a feature film, a follow-up trilogy, a video game franchise, and then another prequel trilogy, John said, adding that while the script's first act definitely works, he worried the narrative would drag when stretched to a full 90-minute runtime, several more 90-minute runtimes, and a dozen more 50-minute runtimes as part of the Netflix tie-in series. I'm just worried this starts running out of steam well before the end of the movie, the comic book adaptation, and the standalone spin-off movies telling the Huntress's backstory. If a narrative can't even sustain a single movie and a Lego set, let alone more than one syndicated animated series, maybe it needs some heavy revisions. At press time, DC executives had decided to ask for a total rewrite after concluding villain Killer Moth was not an interesting enough antagonist to hold people's interest for 2 hours and the length of several Six Flags roller coasters.
They're considering Kite Man as a replacement.
Kite Man is voiced by Jeffrey Combs. I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
You know what's sad is like, it viscerally you're like, no, Batgirl can do it. And the other party is just... Oh, it's a tearing subject.
So
great satire.
I don't know. I don't, yeah, it's The Onion, guys. This is not The Onion. This is Yahoo Movies, though. I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know. I'm sure somebody out there knows this. We don't talk about it on the show very often because it's just a bunch of horse crap.
Bunch of hoo-ha.
But all the fans, you know, keep saying, oh, Charlie Hunnam for the Green Arrow. Charlie Hunnam. I don't disagree necessarily. I like Charlie Hunnam. I've liked the kid since Undeclared. You don't even know what Undeclared is, do you? Mm-hmm. That's right. I know you don't because it was canceled. One season, baby. I got it on DVD. It's amazing. He doesn't even look like himself.
No.
But you know what? Everyone's saying he should be playing the DCEU Green Arrow. Yahoo Movies talked to this guy. Sons of Anarchy. Mr. Sons of Anarchy. He says, I didn't grow up a comic fan. I haven't really seen any of the Marvel movies or the Batman films or anything. It's just not really my taste. So I must confess, I don't really know who the Green Arrow is. Says he's probably not going to be doing any comic book heroes anytime soon. So pack it away, kids.
No. Wasn't he pretty much cute guy on Undeclared?
He was Lloyd. He was the cute British guy.
Resident cute yeah. British guy? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he did a really good job.
No, he did fine. There wasn't really anyone on Undeclared that did a poor job.
Undeclared is an amazing show.
Yeah. I mean, except the people who chose not to renew it over and over again. They did a poor job.
Yeah. I mean, that's your standard Judd Apatow story for television, yeah. Isn't it?
I just don't know if you can exist over in television. We'll kick you down the road to... Wait, how much did you make on that movie? Oh, fuck.
Right. It's like one of the rare instances of someone actually being able to make Ben Stiller funny to me. So, Warner Brothers has opened a new office in Beijing, China. Kevin Tsujihara, CEO, says, Warner Brothers has been producing world-class films and TV shows for almost 100 years, and we look forward to sharing our expertise with our partners in China, as well as with up-and-coming talent to benefit the entire entertainment industry. In the spirit of true cultural exchange, we are eager to learn from our partners and share great Chinese stories with audiences around the world. Now, hopefully... I mean, like, BVS made, like, $100 million from China. Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad was, like, banned from China. Still, for unknown reasons. We don't really know completely.
No, no.
Hopefully, this will, like, help bridge that gap a little bit and keep other movies from being banned from China. But...
As far as I know, it's not, like, something that has, like, it can be a pretty, I don't know, whimsical decision to ban a movie in China. I don't know the politics of who's involved. But apparently, you can get banned pretty quickly.
I would have never thought of... banning movies in China as whimsical, necessarily. That's an interesting word choice, Jason.
I don't want to say mercurial. I just want to say it's something that happened. It can happen quickly and without a lot of input.
Well, I somewhat now, I mean, I like the imagery. I feel like there's maybe a musical going on where someone's banning random movies in China, just happily singing and dancing and banning things. I don't know.
Yeah. Some it's sort of Tinkerbell outfit, maybe.
Just yeah.
Floating around. Flip, 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 flip. You're gone.
Flip, 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 flu.
Yeah.
Is that how we're handling that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Flip, 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 flu. that will be our Foley work for that concept. Yes. It does just like when you read that headline, didn't it just reek of, we're going to try to make sure we have this covered in China.
Yeah.
We didn't enjoy losing that extra couple hundred million dollars, probably.
Right. Yeah, probably. Especially since, you know.
Was not an insignificant amount of money that they probably would have made there.
No, it probably. A lot of people in China would have watched Suicide Squad, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So Wonder Woman has an official rating. Apparently this is of divisive opinion. I don't understand why. Like, I just keep seeing people like, what? Like, people are pissed that Wonder Woman's not going to be R-rated.
Why was it going to be R-rated?
I don't know.
What part of these trailers led you to believe that she was going to be, beheading people on screen?
Apparently, like,
you're gonna see...
the internet is divided into two different people.
You're going to see arterial blood spurts from her. No.
Apparently, like, the internet is divided into two different factions. The faction who's like, what do you mean it's going to be PG-13? What? How? You've seen that Logan and Deadpool are good? And then there's the other faction, you know, who are like, oh, they're totally going to make it R-rated. They're going to make it R-rated because of Logan and Wolverine sellouts. And whatever. It's, you know, people are divided over the rating. I don't understand. But it's rated PG-13 for sequences of violence and action and some suggestive content. Seems fair. Seems like she's probably going to, you know, bone Steve Trevor.
Seems like she's probably going to bone Steve Trevor, sure. But I don't think we're going to see her bone, Steve Trevor. I don't need to see her bone, Steve Trevor. I just...
Define need. No, I'm just kidding.
Not add anything to the movie. No, those are also a bunch of complaints from people who don't understand how movies work, though.
Yeah.
This shit is in the can. It's done. They're not editing or, like, they can't add footage they didn't already have. Like, this thing's coming out.
I mean, they can.
It's coming out in a few months, man. They're not going to go back and redo some of the more grotesque shots to make sure it had this Deadpool feel to it. Like, right. Well, you know, it was nice when she swung her sword. What'd be nice, though, is if we actually saw the guy's guts fall out.
That would be cool.
I mean, yeah, I would kind of laugh a little bit. But we're not going to reshoot a movie for it, nor do I absolutely have to add it.
Right.
I just want to see what an appendix looks like in a Wonder Woman film.
Because it's going to look different than any other film. I never expected this to be rated anything other than PG-13.
Yeah.
I mean, certain things, like, I don't mind PG-13. And PG-13 doesn't bother me. I don't be like, oh, God, this would have been so much better if it was rated R.
No.
You know what? The only time I ever think that usually is, like, Live Free or Die Hard. I felt like that. Where he, like, puts the gun up to his own chest, you know, and, like, he's got to shoot himself. But he knows if he shoots himself, he'll shoot the guy that's, like, holding him. And he, like, shoots himself to kill the guy behind him. He's like, yippee-ki-yay, mother. And then you hear the gunshot, and it's like, oh, that was lame. Like, it's like the fourth film in the franchise. You can't curse now because you're suddenly PG-13. That's lame.
Yeah.
Like, Die Hard movies are rated R, jackass.
That's the thing we do.
That's the thing they
do. We make rated R Christmas movies. That's our tradition.
Only two of them are rated R Christmas movies. But
it's established. There's a place for it. There really is. Like, there's no reason in the world Deadpool should have ever been considered for PG-13. It doesn't make sense for the character. It internally doesn't make sense. And I'm really happy everyone fought for it. No, I mean, the violence and the sexual connotations, all of that.
Yes.
They made it a Deadpool film.
But think about it in this vein, too, though. Think about how funny it would be, like, if they made a sequel, like Deadpool 3, let's say Deadpool 3 is PG-13, how funny would it be to have bleeps and have Deadpool joking about how they're trying to widen their audience by making it PG-13?
Okay, that'd be fine, but I think they still had to establish the R one, you know?
I mean, if you look at the comics and you see, like, even if they'd done it initially... You look at the comics, like, they don't actually say a lot of the stuff that he says. They just put the little, like, squiggly lines and the, you know, symbols and stuff that mean cursing.
Yeah.
I mean, because the comics, like, I don't know what everyone's talking about. I mean, yeah, it fits the character, but they didn't go R-rated in the comics most of the time.
There's no need. We all know what he's saying, but he actually does say it. They just censor him a little bit. It wouldn't make sense in visual format to censor him a little bit. Unless, like you're saying, he did the fourth wall thing, but that would get old after a while. For an hour and a half, or whatever.
I don't know how much.
I wanted to actually see him go that far. So
yeah,
and, I like agree. In a sense, just, in certain contexts, it makes sense to have rated R. In certain contexts, it makes sense to, you know, tell your damn story. So Wonder Woman should just be able to tell her story.
Yeah. On to the Justice League. I agree with you, by the way.
Oh yeah,
I agree with you. Yeah. On to Justice League news. We were, you know, very concerned about who did that Beatles cover in the Justice League trailer. You went back and forth with Scott of the Squadcast.
I went back and forth with several people.
Yeah, you were going back and forth. I stopped caring almost immediately. I was like, who did that cover? That was awesome. And then, like, the next sentence, that was the last I cared.
Yeah, no.
Well, like, I was just gone.
A lot of the dialogue was, oh, it's Aerosmith. No, it's not.
Yeah, especially when it started getting into, like, no, it's Godsmack. It's Aerosmith. It's Godsmack. It's Aerosmith.
Those were the two that I got sent a lot. It was Aerosmith and Godsmack. And you go back and the thing is, if you listen to the, like, Come Together right now over me. Okay. You know Steve Tyler when he's doing Come Together because he sounds like a whiny 14-year-old. And you know Godsmack when he's doing it because whoever that guy's name is. I might have known it back in 1998 or so, but screw that. whoever that guy is, though, you hear the, like, Come Together. It's this, like, post-Pearl Jam era new metal rock voice he does.
Mm-hmm.
No chance. Now, granted, the guitar work actually sounds very similar on the Godsmack cover.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta give it that. I understand where people were coming from. But when you really do the back-to-back on the Come Together right now over me, it doesn't flow. So we finally did get an answer.
I mean, courtesy of Squadcast guy Scott. He's the one that told me about it. I don't know.
Yeah, apparently that's where I learned from. That's what he told me too.
It's Gary Clark Jr. with Composer Junkie XL. Yeah, I could have guessed it was Junkie XL though.
I wouldn't have necessarily guessed, but I was excited to hear he was involved.
I didn't, but I could have. see what I did there?
Right.
Because I'm a jackass.
Yay!
I learned that trick from Matt Carroll of the MCU cast. No, I didn't say I did.
A little trick I picked up from the Carroll.
I didn't say I did guess it. I said I could have.
Now it was finally good to see some. I was happy to have a resolution of that because I was sure it was not a curve that was out there, and I did my research and was like, no, this doesn't fit anything. And I actually had a side bet with myself. I was like, nah, man, I mean, it doesn't sound like his voice, but like Snyder likes Soundgarden. They're together again. I know he's a Cornell fan. Like, I was surprised he didn't ask Soundgarden to make this thing happen.
Right.
They do a come together cover live. That I've heard it.
Right. What do you think of the controversy surrounding the music in the trailer? Because apparently there's this a controversy. People are pissed off about it. Like, there are
what
a lot
is
of people
the problem?
Who are pissed off about it. I don't know.
Hardest Button to Button is a fantastic song. Come Together is a fantastic song, and this is a good cover of it.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I don't understand. I don't know. Like, I asked the question without actually fully understanding the problem.
I don't understand the problem fully either, and if anyone wants to let me know more specifics about the problem, but for now, my overall, I don't know, rebuttal is bollocks.
Right. It's not an official piece of news on this episode because, I mean, well, I didn't care enough. But there are people out there, and they've actually made news articles like, oh, here's the Justice League trailer with Hans Zimmer scoring from the Batman v Superman movie. I'm like, okay.
What?
Like, they're like, it's even better. And I'm like, whatever. I like the come together stuff. I do. I liked it. I mean, why are you pissed about the Beatles? I don't understand.
I can't get that. I'm coming from a very personal space. I can't get why someone would be upset about Come Together, which makes so much sense thematically, and doing a kind of rocking cover that is only accentuated by Batman swinging in on freaking... I just don't understand why there would be a real problem here. I'm open to suggestions. Please let me know.
The problem is it's not the Avengers. That's the problem. It's not Marvel. It's not the Avengers. Neither is it Christopher Reeve, neither is it Batman the Animated Series. It's, you know, they have a problem with anything new. And that's the biggest thing that the DCEU is going to have to face, is not all of these previous versions of things, and it's not the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And people are just looking for any reason to shit on it.
Well, yeah, there's the old...
that's just the truth.
The old adage of, like, give me the same thing but different, and what we're getting right now is something just a little beyond that range.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's
and
different.
I say that for better or worse. Trust me, I go back and listen to our podcast. We've talked about the problems this universe has over and over again, but we're not like it's not complete shite. It's really not.
No, absolutely not. It's
it has problems like everything does. I mean, for God's sake, guys, the Force Awakens, it had problems.
I liked the Force Awakens, but it had problems.
Don't want to mess with anyone's day, but that plot was a little off.
I'm going to tell you this. Force Awakens is my favorite Star Wars movie.
I can kind of deal with that.
But it has problems.
What has got problems? Like, it's a movie, man. There's flaws everywhere. You're just, it's going to be what it is. It's the funny part about suspension of disbelief, though, is like it's an exercise in like how far you're willing to go with somebody. It's a little bit like being in a relationship where you have you have this person that you're in love with, and the way I've heard it described is like Mitchell and Webb sketch that I always love is like you're a little bit delusional in each other's favor.
Yes.
It's a wonderful,
magnificent sketch.
It's a wonderful line.
Go look up the best man speech. That Mitchell and Webb looked the best man speech. Oh,
it's
man.
A wonderful introduction, you know, to what these people are capable of. But that
I might even put it in the in the description.
Just put it in the show notes. Yeah, please, please do. That's what happens when you watch a product that you're in love with, especially if it's a product that you have a previous relationship with. You watch it, you're a little bit delusional in each other's favor, and there's a level, there's a point at which you are going to abandon that suspicion of disbelief, or even abandon your history together, or there's a breaking point. It doesn't matter if it comes in, mm-hmm. in terms of like, you've gone too far, I can't do this anymore. Like, if it's a relationship, it's like, you know, maybe it's the third guy that you cheated on me with, or maybe it's like the first time you looked at somebody odd, depending on my personal issues, probably in that situation. Like, it's all going to be very subjective, is my point. And mm-hmm. you get to a movie like this, and you get to a franchise like this, especially where we all have so much back history, and you just, it's so freaking subjective. Like, you can watch, even this 2.5 minute trailer has just enough in it where people are getting like vitriolically pissed at it,
mm-hmm.
for reasons that I can't quite understand, because I'm still kind of on the like, oh no, it's my friend side of it. But
I just, you know, I mean, I why, you know,
the problem is, though, if you jump over to the other side where you go, oh man, no. The Fonz has jumped over the shark. Sorry.
Yeah.
You get to that point now where, like, you have to go back and crawl back into the material. And that's what I keep hoping for so much, is like, the people who are still on board with this thing are going to probably look at Wonder Woman and Justice League and go, these are great, and be like more amped about what they were already feeling. The people that were already off the boat, they're not going to be like bought back in by a couple of really good shots. And I don't know what it's going to take to buy people back in.
Well, I don't know. I, you know, me personally, like, I have more of a, traditional viewpoint of the characters. And I won't say that, like, I'm totally down with, like, the whole, like, oh, you know, come little chum and all that. But a version of Batman and whatnot. But, you know, I'm not sure I'm completely on board the, Zack Snyder and his crew, the people that work under Snyder, seem to be all in on a notion of the DC universe where it's like they cater to the fans who are like bodybuilding, tattoo wearing, grody people. Like, let's put tattoos over everything and like have like really big beards and be kind of like metal, you know?
Yeah.
And that's fine. I'm enjoying it so far.
I feel like you're waiting to include Axe body spray in your description of the fans.
I don't know that I would go that far. Axe body spray is a different, that's a different group. But I think Axe body spray is what like Marvel fanboys might wear. But I don't know, man. I kind of feel like this is not the DC that I know. Like, to me, like, the DC that I know is like these like golden gods. You know what I mean? Like old school.
Oh, the
like,
New Frontier Greek people. Gods. The whole thing.
Yeah, New Frontier. New Frontier is the perfect, it's kind of almost the perfect way to describe it. But, you know, I really like the idea of Aquaman being this like regal but angry king, you know? Mm-hmm. But then I grew up on Peter David's run with Aquaman with the hook arm,
mm-hmm.
Where he was a little bit Wolverine. But he was like not like this like sort of redneck version that Jason Momoa is doing. But the thing about Aquaman,
I think you're going to get a little more. I think it's going to be a little more rounded than you're seeing right now. And like they're giving him these bestial scenes right now, where he's like harpooning people. And
well, you know, I've watched this trailer like a million times. Yeah. And he, you know, when he throws the guy down, grabs the drink, and he's like, "It's on him." That sounds like Aquaman to me a little bit more. Like, he's not quite where we want him to be, but he's not, like,
and,
I don't know.
You know, it seems
a little, like,
Hawaiian, I think, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't really have any kind of accent or background that's going to give you a redneck theme. I think that, I think it's one of those things where, like, you've seen a couple of scenes where he's just going, "Rawr!" that have pointed you in the wrong direction.
You know, the redneck thing is him riding on the Batmobile going, "Yeah!" I just feel like why do I don't want Aquaman to be a wrestler, but at the same time,
okay.
One,
all
that's an incredibly stupid thing to be angry about, because Aquaman is almost not at all defined in pop culture.
Yeah,
aside from him being like a complete wuss.
Yeah,
which clearly this guy isn't.
No.
So I'm cool for that. Like, I just like, you know, like when I think of Aquaman, I think of a little more of like, you know, Mr. Worf from Star Trek. Like, he's like very like stoic and regal, you know, And like the other the leaguers like make fun of him a little bit.
No, you want like
mess with him.
King Arthur, but, King Curry, you know?
Well, yeah.
And that's fine. I like the like the king who can throw down with his subjects if he has to. It's got this it's got a very Arthur kind of feel to it.
Right. But if I was in the position that Zack Snyder is, like, well, if I was in the position, I would do what I wanted to do, which would actually get me blasted for ripping off Thor.
Yeah.
Because he would just be Thor. Like, Aquaman would just be Thor. Because Thor and Aquaman are the same people to me, in my head.
Pretty similar characters, yeah, no doubt.
Like, they would just be like, oh, there's old Thor of the ocean. Ocean Thor.
All right, now one thing.
What about Namor? I don't care about Namor.
Yeah, screw Namor. He's Thor. We'll get there. In defense, though, of the like, yeah, on, if it was me personally, riding on the side of the Batmobile, about to take on a few parademons, and like Batman looks up at me with this kind of like knowing like nod. Somewhere in that moment, I might actually go, yeah! And I'm from the South. Mm-hmm. And for a second, I would think, right, ugh, you're being so Southern, you asshole. And then I would think, no, this is the moment where this belongs.
Like, I have expected in that scene to see like Aquaman snap into a Slim Jim.
kick Bigfoot in the face and throw something at a parademon.
But again, like, I've, you know, even over the course of this show, and, you know, I'm somewhat surprised that no one's called us out on our hypocrisy yet.
They probably have.
But at the beginning of this show, at the beginning of DC On Screen, some 350 episodes ago, actually 350 episodes ago exactly, if you go back, we're way more down on this shit than we are now. And I think we've transcended a little bit in some ways. Like, I think we've just become more accepting overall of the multiverse. Or maybe it's just that we're just so sad with always being down on stuff. But you know what? I think we're still correct about all the stuff we said before. I honestly do. Like, and I, you know, I haven't gone back and listened to
I would
all
like
that
to
shit.
Believe what you're saying. I also believe that we've talked so long that we can't possibly be like completely right about everything. Surely we've contradicted ourselves several times. But
do you think we've changed our opinions out of boredom?
Not out of boredom.
I stand by my issues with Man of Steel. I have my issues
still
with
have
BVS.
Them. Still have those too.
I
think though we were initially, I do remember like in our run, we were initially kind of pissed about like when Ezra Miller got cast. It was kind of a bad day for us. We really wanted, like, we kept thinking TV is doing so well right now at portraying a few of these characters, and they were.
Mm-hmm.
Why not use that? And
yeah.
They started doing
agree with that to some degree.
Well, and I went through this phase where like I thought, oh, why aren't you using these characters, you know, in your films? It makes sense. What are you doing, you piece of shit? And then I kind of came around to like what finally convinced me at some point was you know, we get all this we actually do get a fair amount of feedback from Marvel people saying blah 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 blah. And just
is that an actual quote? Blah, 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 blah,
blah. Yeah, it was blah 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 blah.
It amounts to that generally.
I just you know, just interpreted. But
yeah,
we get that, and we also get in doing research for our shows, we find this inevitable list of Marvel vs. DC bullshit.
Yeah,
and one of the things people kept saying was like, oh my god, they should be more like Marvel. And it got exhausting. And one of the reasons I realized it was exhausting was because over time, having watched all the Marvel stuff, because I love the Marvel stuff, even Iron Fist, enjoyed that.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Enjoyed it. Really had a great time.
What is it, like 70% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, dude, it was 19 at one point. It was the lowest rated show on Netflix at one point.
It is time. It is time to give up Rotten Tomatoes.
Just call DOA on Rotten Tomato. I don't know.
Tell your friends.
I don't know. It's not like I don't have more problems.
I can't think of a show.
Know if I can think of one single show that I can't come up with a couple things about. But that's our nature. That's what we do. So I don't feel bad about that. That's just how we are. But all the Marvel stuff, coming out of it as it is. At some point, I've talked about this before, so I'll keep it brief. But the Marvel stuff, I realized, was several different universes. They pitched it as the MCU, but you have the movies.
Yeah.
And then you have the TV, and then you have the Netflix. and the Netflix talks about the movies every now and then, and the TV talks about the movies every now and then, but the TV and the Netflix don't talk about each other at all, and the movies never talk about either of those fuckers because they're too good to, because they're movies. It's just stupid. It is not a cohesive universe. It does, like, chronologically, for the most part, make sense, and that's cool, but it doesn't really.
Yeah, it's not, and that's one of the things that I was going to say that made me change my mind about, like, and, they wanted to try it, if they actually, honestly, honest to God, hand to God, wanted to do TVs and movies.
And the EPs of all of our DC shows, like all of our CW shows, faced all these questions for a long time, especially when they were casting and doing all this stuff, like when BVS was coming. Like early on, in like our first year, for instance, we covered a lot of that. And what I realized was, did we have two universes that are actually doing themselves separately? I've got more material than you do. And they're not lying to me.
That's the thing. DC, it's a smart move if they do it correctly, and they still haven't done it correctly, and they have to build up to it, so I'm not faulting them for that. And I hope they do it one day. But, you know, seeing how the DC operates, and seeing how the Marvel Universe is operated, and kind of feeling like I've been in this thing for 10 years in Marvel, like I've been watching this shit since 2008, and I still don't, and they're like, they promised us one universe, and I kind of feel like, yeah, it's the one universe, but who cares? What do I give a crap?
No, it's literally, it's the, at this point, it's, one universe is a fine thing, but let's put it in real astrophysical terms.
What are the benefits of that? Well, seeing everybody team up. The nearest, what are the chances we're going to see that? Zero.
You remember that whole thing a few weeks ago about like, oh, there's like 8 planets that are exactly the right size and distance from the sun that they could be life-bearing planets. Well, they're 40 million light years away.
See you later.
Neat to know, but we'll never know these people if they're there.
Right.
That's how the actual Marvel Universe
they're
is
probably
right now.
They're probably shitting on movies on their planet. Probably. Who cares? But, you know, the thing is like, what's really cool about, and, you know, this might never happen. And with Geoff Johns, I'm sure he wants to do it, but this probably will never happen. If they do Crisis on Infinite Earths, like, even Ezra Miller has talked about that.
Oh,
like,
Ezra Miller is
him and Grant Gustin.
He's one of the, talking about it's one of the reasons where I had to give it to him. Like, this guy really wants to be the Flash. I'm not going to hate on Grant Gustin not being the Flash anymore. This guy cares.
If you like go through several years and we have our Flash show, we have our Arrow show, we have, you know, begrudgingly Legends of Tomorrow, which I'm
not
so disenchanted with. I am so disenchanted with it, I just wish it was not there.
I'm fine with it.
At this point, I know, that's why we're good together, because, you know, it's good that, like, not all the listeners are alienated by my anger.
And yet my glowing endorsement was like, I'm fine.
Well, it's not a great show. But, you know, I would love to see... I would love to see, and they would be fools not to do it. Because you know how much money... This would make $3 or $4 billion if they did Crisis on Infinite Earths. And they build it as, like, this is the return of Michael Keaton's Batman. This is the return of Christian Bale's Batman. This is the return of, you know, Val Kilmer's Batman and Clooney's Batman. And we're going to also do Kevin Conroy's Batman. And, oh, guess what? Here's Adam West. And we're going to have a CGI Christopher Reeve. And we're going to have Brandon Routh as Superman. And we're going to have Henry Cavill as Superman and Ben Affleck as Batman. If they did that, if they actually... And then we're going to have Grant Gustin as The Flash. And you would have everyone who watched any of these shows ever... Like, standing in line holding their dicks.
Oh, yeah.
What would happen.
No, and you couldn't do it in one film. This would have to be, like, 4 film. Like, this would be, though... is a Geoff Johns wet dream.
It is. It's a DC on-screen wet dream.
Oh, yeah.
All DC on-screen ever. Like, just... Oh, my Lord. That would be amazing.
You know, Crisis allows so much as far as what you can get away with that, yeah, could totally make that happen.
Yeah. Anyway, we should start talking about the news.
Oh, news.
Again.
Oh, okay.
Zack Snyder was talking about the Justice League. Yeah. USA Today talked with Zack Snyder upon the release of the Justice League movie trailer. not the movie, the trailer. Mm-hmm. The thing that's awesome about these icons is that a lot of them we haven't seen in the movies before on the big screen, is something Snyder said. He said it's kind of fun to really let the actors stretch their legs and inhabit those characters. It's a process to make a team out of this group of individuals, but for the greater good, maybe they can put their differences aside. Sounds like the Avengers at this point. I'm not going to lie.
Mm. Sounds like every team up movie ever.
Absolutely.
The Avengers wasn't breaking ground. Whedon would tell you, like, oh, I didn't invent the team movie.
Yeah, no. Whedon would say, I did the Magnificent Seven in Superhero 4.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. Snyder says Batman has been a loner for certainly his crime-fighting career, maybe with the exception of Robin. When we meet him in BVS, he's definitely at this low point of isolation. That was always our intention, that Justice League would be this continuation for Batman to evolve into a more complete hero. So there's that. Which is something we've all been saying over and over again. But, you know, the mass media doesn't listen to us.
Yep.
Snyder, talking about Wonder Woman's solo movie, says it's going to flesh out and realize her island home Themyscira and embrace canon with her and get all the elements to mash up that I love from the original stories. But also we'll see that dovetail into not only the why of BVS, but even now the why of Justice League and who she is finally realized. We know now where she comes from. And when it comes to the new guys, Snyder says there's each such awesome personalities in the movie. You have Jason stomping around as this inked hairy man, just this mythic creature. And you've got Ezra, who's full of life and hilarious and all over the place and amazing, a really fun and also poignant Flash. And Ray's story is, in a lot of ways, the heart of the movie. Cyborg is the heart of the movie, guys.
Hmm. Cool.
When asked about Superman, he says, it's hard to have a Justice League without Superman. That's how I feel about it.
That gives me nothing. Thank you. Well done.
I don't think that gives you nothing, man. That's Snyder telling you, man, he's coming.
No, that could be him just saying, like, well, it was hard to do this without him.
Nah, man, he's coming back.
Some have been supposing that he's going to come back as evil Superman.
I have seen that, and that would be cool. I'd be down with that. You know what? I've seen so many iterations of these characters. I don't even care anymore. It showed me something new. I don't give a shit.
Seriously.
What the mainstream public sees anymore.
It is Superman. He is, like, the oldest of all of us. Like, he has been around longer than, like, anyone other than, what, like, Dr. Occult?
Oh, God. Why would you even bring that guy up?
Because he was around for, like, 4 months longer than this guy.
Don't forget the Wiz.
Yeah.
Don't forget the guy who dressed in all yellow, who was basically, like, he got his powers from a mongoose.
I think
he was just, it wasn't even a radioactive mongoose. It was just a mongoose, and he got bitten. He could run really fast, and he decided to dress in yellow and call himself the Wiz.
Of course.
So he's just like he's a stream of piss running around. Because he got bitten by a mongoose.
Streamless and untrained by any given toilet. Superman has been around for so long. If you do something new with him at this point, it's an accomplishment. It's not it's not a betrayal.
No, Snyder was talking to them, though, about the early early discussions about figuring out Superman's role in the film. He says, it was always a super intriguing concept to me to have this opportunity to have him make that sacrifice, but also have him be in this, in a weird sort of way, the why of Justice League. What do you do now with him? What does the team think? What does the world need? All that comes into play. It's fun for us, but it'll be interesting for audiences what we do with him. That makes me feel like the evil Superman thing is probably real. It'll be interesting for audiences what we do with him.
Possibly.
Not forever.
Possibly.
He won't be evil forever.
No. No, God no. Kidding me? We have a second Justice League. It'll all work out. But even if all we're talking about is how do we perceive what happened while he was here? Like, there was all this controversy about his use of power, and, you know, where does that leave us? Or, you know, if we form a league, are we the new gods now? Are we the new regime? Do we answer to anybody? All that stuff. All of those themes were addressed in BVS.
Yeah.
There's no reason to think anything specific or revolutionary is happening in what he just said. Those are all themes that are on the table right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Chris Begley and the cats over at BatmanNews.com have posted 101. They've posted 101 HD screen caps from the Justice League trailer. Earlier this week, I was talking to our buddy Eli Oppelders, who does the magnificent show Stealing the Remote, where he basically forces his poor mother to watch a bunch of movies she doesn't want to watch. And they talk about it. It's a phenomenal show, though. She's not as bad as all that. It's not a slavery issue. He's not making her do this. It's a phenomenal show, though, because she has a lot of interesting ideas, mm-hmm. and so does he. And just talking about movies, and it's really
cool. She makes it work.
But he was trying to grab wallpapers from the new Justice League trailer, and if you're like Eli and you want to look for these wallpapers, go over to BatmanNews.com because they have posted 101 HD screen caps from this thing. It's just like watching the Justice League trailer going through these things, just with no music, dialogue, sound effects, and movement. Ah,
what we always wanted.
But yeah, there's a lot for you if you're looking for wallpapers, like I said, or you want to analyze the mise-en-scene, as they say.
Yeah.
Might be able to find some Easter eggs. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to find Easter eggs. I'm very clueless when it comes to Easter eggs. Like, people look at things, but, oh, look at the shape of that broken glass. I bet that looks like a thing in the comics. Let me look it up. Oh, yeah, look, it's like the lost providence of Krypton. I don't know.
There are things that I just, I can't be counted on to catch.
I know. So, I'm sorry. We're not those guys. We're your friends at the comic shop. We're not the guys who are, taking pictures of windows in the background and seeing what the shatter pattern makes up to be,
I am not that intuitive, nor am I that compulsive.
No.
Not going to happen.
I'm pretty compulsive, but it's about collecting things, Like, I enjoy going and looking and seeing, like, oh, that's cool that they included that. That's weird. That's kind of a cool throwback or a cool reference, but I don't want to look for it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Internet, for showing me why things are cool. So for the Marvel guys out there who don't think... I don't know why you'd be listening to this show, because it's a DC show. But for the Marvel guys out there...
We may have two. Who knows?
We might.
For you two.
We have people.
Or three, if I'm being optimistic.
Hey, you know what? We have people who love Marvel. We do. I know we do. For a fact.
That's a spirit.
I absolutely do, because, they talk to us, and they're like, it's never going to be as good as Marvel. I'm like, whatever. But you know what? James Gunn, they asked him what he thought of the Justice League trailer, and he said, I saw it a long time ago. I really like it. So, director of Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2 is digging the Justice League trailer.
Also, just to pile on. Volume 2 looks pretty great.
It does, though. It does. I'm so excited.
I'm gonna be in that theater on Thursday night. Sorry.
Absolutely. I'm like an overall comic book fan. Like, I'm one of these guys who's like, yeah, I like Marvel. Oh yeah, I love DC. I've got a podcast about DC. You know what else I'm really excited about? That Spawn movie that Todd McFarlane keeps claiming is gonna happen but never does.
No.
Like, I really want to see that.
I will be in that. You could reboot Blade right now, and I'd be on that shit.
I'm sad right now because I haven't seen the new Power Rangers movie. That's the sad part. Like, I'm just like, I love superheroes. I don't give a crap where they came from.
I can actually live without seeing that.
Oh, man, I don't know.
That didn't mean that I didn't wake up early, like, every morning to watch Power Rangers. Because it aired at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was untenable, frankly, because I'm not... I have always been a get-to-sleep-late kind of guy and wake up with, like...
I don't know.
The first 30 minutes of my day are pretty much a drunk groping.
I was the kid that waited, like, a year and a half to watch it on syndication every day on Fox Kids, like, after school. I gotta watch Batman the Animated Series and then Power Rangers. Like, yeah! Like,
I would find it there and go, oh, that's what that story did. Because I couldn't mm-hmm. wake my ass up in time to actually watch it.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen for me.
Never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Makakil, maybe?
Sure.
I'll post a link to it in the show notes. He did a magnificent, or she, whoever, whatever. Did a magnificent little YouTube video, The Avengers React to the Justice League trailer. Rick Story over on Twitter asked for our thoughts on this. I don't know, man. What were your thoughts?
Well, they're fairly limited. I mean,
they're fairly limited. Yeah,
it's a really well done reaction video.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like the Avengers, like in the Age of Ultron, hanging out in the Avengers Tower, and then like so instead of like the Ultron stuff coming on, it's the Avengers, the Justice League trailer.
Yeah,
and then they just react to it, and it basically like plays through almost the entire trailer, except Thor gets mad when he sees Aquaman and throws like the hammer through the screen.
Yeah,
which is a fun punchline. And then they kind of stand quietly, and I kind of liked, like, to me, it kind of ended on a whimper. Like, there wasn't a punchline. Like, the punchline, to me, was Thor throwing the hammer through the screen.
Yeah, that was the part coming.
But then, like, they're like, well, what do we do? Like, well, whatever happens, we'll face it together. And they kind of had this, like, the swell of the Avengers music. I love that they threw in Ant-Man. Like, Paul Rudd just be like, hey, I'll be over here doing
that
this.
That made me laugh. I'm going to go make some tea. That made me
laugh.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No, the high point to me was... Flash, what's your superpower again? I'm rich. And then it cuts to Stark, and he kind of looks like, I don't know, beside
him. Terrified and sad, yeah.
Yeah.
It was humorous. I don't know what the bent is, though. Because like, usually when these things happen, like, there's a bent. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there'll be like, William Shatner responds to the new Star Trek. And it'll be like the new Star Trek trailer for the Chris Pine stuff. And then it'll be like the clip of Kirk from Enemy Within being like, I'm Captain Kirk! And like smashing the screen over and over again.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. There's always like a bent. Like, we don't like this. We like this. So I didn't really see like a real bent here. Like, I didn't see like a real bias. So I didn't know what to think of it exactly, which is probably just more indicative of our shitty society than it is of anything, but
no, I was just expecting it. The bent that I got was that the Avengers looked like slightly intimidated by the whole process.
But that they would still rise to the occasion. Like, I felt like this guy might be like one of ours, you know, like one of our own.
Yeah.
The people who love both.
Yeah.
I hope so. Hope.
And I can deal with that. It was a cute concept at least.
Yeah.
And well executed, like I said. The cutaway scenes were kind of the part that I enjoyed the most, though. Like, it gets to a cool part in the trailer, and then they'd cut away to the Avengers, and they just kind of look worried.
For some reason, Scarlet Witch looked more worried than anyone.
Yeah.
Anyway, I enjoyed it. It was fun to see, but, you know, moving on. So Deadline is reporting that Dylan Clark is going to be producing The Batman with Matt Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
It would make a ton of sense, because he worked very closely with Reeves as producer on Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War for the Planet of the Apes. Clark has no comment. He's not saying yay or nay. His rep assured everyone that his full focus is finishing up the Universal films, Scarface, Battlestar Galactica, and Space Race. He has no deal with Warner Brothers, period. But the word around the water cooler apparently is that he is going to be doing Batman with Matt Reeves.
That is a lot on someone's plate too, though.
Right? Like, why would they?
Is that what I'm?
See, that's funny because, like, yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about this. I forget. You know, the radio show I used to be a part of, the Entertainment Roundtable.
Sure.
They've turned it into a podcast. It's still a radio show, but they put it on a podcast.
Yep.
And I heard about the Scarface reboot on that, and I still think of myself as being really a part of that for some reason, even though I haven't done a show in a long time, like 2 years or a year or something.
You were a regular, though.
Well, the thing, I was on the show every week for a long time, and then this show became, like, everything in my life.
That's not an exaggeration. Yes.
So I don't really have time. Because I still have a full-time job. I don't have time to do the radio show anymore. But I listen to them, Entertainment Roundtable, for anyone who wants to go check that out, on the podcast. And they talked about it. So, but yeah, there's a Scarface remake. And I don't even know why they would do that, but whatever. I mean,
enough time has passed, they'll try.
Well, the one that everyone is familiar with was a remake. The Al Pacino Scarface was a remake. Anyway, the one that actually blew my mind was Battlestar Galactica. I'm like, dude, sci-fi like knocked it out of the park with that show. Why would you even try to do a remake of that yet? Like, why?
Yeah.
But whatever.
It's still just a like a constant at Comic-Cons everywhere, at discussions in every nerd group in any capacity. Why would you watch that?
I mean, I know why, because it's name brand recognition. And it's just funny to me that like something like, because a sci-fi show is really, why is the big deal? Because the original show lasted like a year or two. Like they did like a shitty like reboot that didn't last, and like it was sort of like a Battlestar Earth or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Eh, whatever. But the sci-fi show, and even the sci-fi show had a spinoff / prequel that didn't last, called Caprica.
Mm-hmm.
But still, apparently it's a pretty viable IP. Anyway, at least for Universal.
No, there are people that swear by this, and I can't discount any of them.
Yeah, it's I haven't watched it.
An extremely tightly written thing that I just have not gotten around to.
Like, Battlestar Galactica, in of itself, like, the miniseries and the show, I've seen the miniseries, I haven't seen the show completely. I've watched the first couple episodes, and then, oddly enough, I don't know why I did this, I watched the last episode.
Don't know why you would do that. No idea.
And didn't understand, like, any of it. Well, it's because Matt Carroll, the MCU cast, was watching it, and I just sat down, I was bored one night, and sat down and watched it with him.
Oh.
He's like, this is the last episode, you know? And I was like, eh, I don't care, I'm not going to watch this thing. Which is weird for me, because it was Ronald D. Moore from, Next Generation and DS9, and I love this guy. And I don't know why I did that. But the ending wasn't terrible. Like, at no point did I sit there and go like, oh, this is awful. Why would they end it like this?
Why would they ever do this?
No, it was a pretty good ending. And then because of the ending, I just kind of felt like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to go back and watch the thing.
Well, this all seems okay. I'll leave it alone. God,
what a good ending. And he's like, yeah, but you should watch the show. I'm like, eh, I'm good.
It all worked out. moving on.
And then I always thought that I would go back, and then Caprica ended with, like, they was just canceled without an ending, and I thought, meh.
Screw that.
Do I really want to do that now?
Yeah.
Like, it's been soiled by cancellation. Anyway.
Yep.
Which apparently I should go back and watch, because Patton Oswalt was apparently pretty great in the show. I don't know.
Probably. It's Patton Oswalt. Kidding me?
Yeah, absolutely. Gotham. I just said the first word of the next thing I was talking about. Does it make sense? I just went, yeah, Gotham. Because I was about to talk about Gotham City Sirens. So, Gotham City Sirens. Jessica Chastain was in an interview with Cinema Blend. She said she's open to the idea of playing Poison Ivy. She says, I'm interested in all things where the characters are strong and dynamic and not stereotypes or objects. I like female characters that are subjects, not objects. And so if Poison Ivy happens to be that, sure, throw my hat into the ring. I would be okay with her as Poison Ivy.
I don't know where she's from, so I feel bad responding to her comments by saying this, but
right?
Yeah, she looks Poison Ivy.
She looks Poison Ivy-ish. Like me personally, I would prefer someone who looked a little more impish, more petite and elfish, but that's my own weird things because of the Bruce Timm universe.
Yeah, you do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. In that sense, you do kind of imagine her as like 5'2".
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I tend to do that. She's not a Red Claw. I'm fine with it in another way, but, you know, I'm not sure that I used to think like maybe Emma Stone would be a good Poison Ivy. But then I saw like one of those things where people read mean tweets about celebrities, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Is that Kimmel or
Kimmel or Fallon? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's one of the Jimmies.
Mm-hmm.
But she read a mean tweet about herself. Emma Stone did. She said Emma Stone looks like she always smells like cat piss, and now I can't get that out of my head. Like I just can't. Like it's because whatever it was, it rang so true to me. That I can't get it out of my head anymore. Like, it's just, every time I see her, I think she smells like cat piss.
You've been neurologically damaged with the cat piss.
Do you ever do that?
Probably, but I can't pull up an example right now to relate to you.
because I totally just thought, like, oh man, Emma Stone, she's great, you know, she's a good actress and she's really attractive, and I'd love to see her in anything as anything. Like, she could be Barbara Gordon, she could be Poison Ivy, I'd be fine. She could be Mary Jane, she could be, you know, Gwen Stacy, I'm good. And then she read that tweet where it said that she looks like she smells like cat piss, and for some reason it just rang so true for me. It was so fundamentally true somehow in my brain that now I can't enjoy her in anything.
The only thing I have to relate to that is that Lisa Kudrow has the ongoing series now that's Web Therapy.
Uh-huh.
And some part of me thinks that she has a smelly cat.
See, I can't get over the fact that she dated Conan O'Brien.
Oh, that must have been a funny set of dates.
Either, you know, but comedians are messed up, though.
Oh, so, yeah, like, no, they're damaged people, and I love them.
I adore Conan O'Brien, but I can't, like, I've seen that film, Conan O'Brien Can't Stop, and I cannot imagine that he wasn't in some way incredibly abusive to her emotionally.
Because apparently that's how he rolls.
I mean, he's just that guy. Like, he's not... And I don't even know if that's true, but it seems like that. Like, when he's working, he's so intense and everything.
Yeah, no, he's in it.
But I don't know how she is either. So, apparently they're still friends, so I guess he wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to some more news. Sad news. I was really sad to hear it. Bernie Wrightson passed away. He had brain cancer. He died March 18th in Austin, Texas. He was 68 years old. And this is the guy that co-created Swamp Thing. He was the artist, the illustrator.
Oh.
And he also did illustration. I mean, this is a guy that did, like, ridiculously detailed, complex art. Like, this is a Bernie Wrightson. Look this guy up. BERNIEWRIGHTSON. This guy did stuff for, like, they did a Marvel adaptation for Frankenstein. He did stuff for Stephen King. He did character designs for a lot of movies, like The Mist, and he did Galaxy Quest and the original Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, he co-created Swamp Thing. And, like, his stuff is so intricate, so beautiful. Like, and he was such a perfectionist, they say, that, like, if he perceived there to be any small problem, he would throw the sheet aside, no matter how brilliant, and start over again. This is an artist that's worth emulating, that's worth studying. Magnificent guy. Magnificent artwork. Just, like, as a person who practices, you know, artwork to some degree, and, you know, has an ability to draw, like, I kind of want to throw myself on my own blade, because I'll never be the Bernie Wrightson, you know? This is the guy that
the hurdy-curry of not being this guy.
Right. This is the guy that, like, Jim Lee would look at and just be like, you know what? I'm done.
Bernie Wrightson. Really intricate stuff.
Yeah, go look up Bernie Wrightson. Tell me I'm not wrong. But yeah, he passed away over the last week, and it's a loss. It's a real loss
in
the artistic community and the comic book community. Sad days. And he doesn't get nearly as much credit as he should, because he was brilliant. You know, he doesn't get nearly as much acclaim as someone like Jim Lee. You know, and I love Jim Lee. Like, Jim Lee was my shit. Like, that's what I grew up on. That's my jam, y'all.
He's a rock star.
But Bernie Wrightson is kind of like the guy that never got the acclaim that Jim Lee has gotten, but it's kind of better in a lot of ways. So, or just, not even kind of, just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Like, just absolutely better than Jim Lee in many, 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 many ways. And of course, art is subjective, so don't, you know, get on my ass about that. But, you know, go check the guy out. Appreciate what he did while he was here on this spinning ball of mud. And that's all I've got for the DCEU news. And you know what? I chose the Swamp Thing. I chose Bernie Wrightson passing away because they're actually talking about doing Swamp Thing in a movie. So
yeah, and you wanted to end on sad.
I always want to end on sad.
If at all possible. what we want to do is make sure that everyone leaves here thinking, oh, fuck this shit. I'm just going to throw it my phone.
Well, it makes more sense to end on sad than it does to start with sad, because then we just sound like dicks making jokes about our bad backs, you know? And our
I mean, it would make sense if we could, like, start on sad and then be hopeful, but we're not hopeful people when it really comes down to it. Like, we're not an inspirational speech. Inspirational speeches start with, like, oh, I remember this time I met this guy.
Right.
He had three limbs, and the one he still had isn't what you're thinking.
My sensibilities say start on funny, go to sad. Maybe that's flawed.
I don't know if it is, because at least start on funny, go to sad. We can we have a chance. We're not hopeful enough people that we can start with, like, all right, this is gonna be bad.
Well, at least it ties into people being sad that the show is over. Hopefully,
yes,
right. I mean, I hope the people are sad that we're about to stop. If they're not, we're in a lot of trouble.
Or they're long gone. Like, we're 20 minutes past those people.
They'll never know.
We've slipped it by them. No big deal.
That's what I was, you know, most afraid of. You know, the analytics tell us, like, hey, look, you know, these people slip away after 2 minutes. They're like, all right, well, don't want to bum them out and tell them the guy that created Swamp, that co-created Swamp Thing, you know, kicked the bucket. That sucks.
Yeah, you don't want to start your show with, like, people you love died.
Yeah, or people you didn't know existed died. Yeah. You were a piece of shit for not knowing they existed.
Yeah, that's equally shitty.
Yeah, so that's why I started off with an Onion article and ended with the co-creator of Swamp Thing.
No, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't really start off with an Onion article. We really started off with nonsense, and then we eventually got to an Onion article, and then hopefully made it here.
This recap of the episode provided to you by Jason Goss.
Hi. I was here the whole time.
We're going to be right back with an episode talking about the DC TV stuff, and hopefully it'll be as fun as this episode, or even more fun if we just plow through it and don't actually talk about our lives at all.
Hopefully it'll be extremely fun or concise. I don't know. That's your problem. You're going to have to click on the thing and see what the fuck happens.
Yeah, because that's who we are now. We are DC On Screen, though, and every episode can be found at DCOnScreen.com. And you know what? Downloads matter. I'm going to keep saying this until you believe it. Downloads matter. Subscribe to iTunes and Stitcher or whoever it is that you listen to us through, because you know what? It sucks that if you don't, because that's a way of supporting us. Support the stuff that you like, kids. That's how it works.
That's the
That's the real world. And you know, I'm not making any threats. I'm not saying anytime soon, but at some point, if you don't, the things that you love will go away. That's all I'm saying. You can find us.
We mean your children.
No.
Not our podcast.
No. I'm not at all threatening their children. What the hell is wrong with you?
Did I miss that note?
You missed that. Well, who are you? The Penguin in Batman Returns?
I may have misread some show notes you gave me. Sorry.
Anyway.
Did it say loved ones?
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
That's probably okay, right?
DC On Screen, one word. Pay no attention to this rambling lunatic.
Your yoga teacher can't say anything.
Our buddy Brandon sent me a meme. I'm sorry, this is going to piss people off. I don't care. Because it's just true. It's like a stock photo of a family looking at a kid at a table, and they're all smiling at him. Mm-hmm. And the caption says, "Well, son, when you were a baby, the internet and your mom's yoga teacher told us that vaccines were bad. Anyway, sorry your legs don't work."
I'm going to sum that up. Because science... That's why that's funny, because science.
Anyway, I'm sorry if anybody out there hasn't vaccinated their children, not because it offended you, but because
because
God,
you
what
haven't
a stupid
vaccinated
thing.
Your children. I'm willing to take a stand on this. Go vaccinate your children.
And I'll clue you in on something. Jason and I, in some ways, have radically different political views. I stand with
him
on this.
This is not one of them.
You're stupid. Go vaccinate your children.
All right.
Oh, my Lord.
All right.
Anyway.
We've made our point. Something that makes no sense. Who knows? That could be genetic dysmorphs. It could be a weird scientist that's playing games. You could get Bane. Your child could be Bane.
We're proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network. GiantSizeTeamUp.com. we'll be right back with the DC TV news. Until then, guys, keep some DC on your screen.